The following is a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZ AM, Intercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
The following is a pre-recorded show. This is AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business, providing opportunities to discover information to help you run your business and guide your decision-making. The more you know, the better decisions you make. AHA Business Radio is produced by Alan Hirsch Advisors. For more information, log on to ahabusinessradio.com. To join in tonight's conversation, call 410-823-1812. Now, here's your host for AHA Business Radio, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome to the show tonight. My guest tonight is Sarah Sawyer, attorney and with Offit Kerman. And we're going to talk about the coronavirus. A lot has happened since I've had other attorneys on in the last few weeks. But first, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So what motivates you to get up in the morning and go to work?
So I first became interested in practicing law out of really the desire to learn and understand the rules we all play by. And really that desire has turned into a passion for helping businesses implement policies and practices that help them keep things running smoothly and avoid expensive legal issues and helping fight for them when they do get involved with litigation. So that's really what gets me up in the morning. And in particular right now is helping them through the, helping business owners through the COVID-19 crisis and all the crazy changes that have been happening over the last month or so.
Well, so let's get started. I mean, one of the things that, I don't even know these things, so this is going to be helpful to me as well as I think some of the listeners. So what's the FFCRA? It's the Family First Coronavirus Response Act. Is that what it is? I mean, I hadn't even heard of it.
So the Family First Coronavirus Response Act was passed back mid-March, and it went into effect April 1st. And so that was the first of the federal acts to go into effect. So folks might be familiar with the Families First Coronavirus Response Act and also the CARES Act. So those are the two big pieces of federal legislation that have passed so far. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act, so the FFCRA, is the act that provides leave to employees. So really, it was the first one to come out because it really is targeted at preventing employees from having to make the difficult decision of going to work or protecting their families and other employees. And really, it's just the Public Safety Act, as you can kind of think of it that way. And so for under that act,
okay,
it provides both expanded family medical leave and paid sick leave for employees for COVID-19 related reasons.
So it expanded the family sick leave beyond just your own sickness, but it included the sickness involved around the coronavirus. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a couple layers to it. It's both, it involves a lot of things, actually. It's, even though one portion of it is called paid sick leave, it's not necessarily just for when you're sick. It's also has to do with if you're unable to work because you've been subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order, whether you've been advised to self-quarantine, due to coronavirus concerns, whether experiencing symptoms of coronavirus and seeking medical diagnosis, if you're caring for someone who is either been told to self-quarantine or is exhibiting symptoms, or if you are caring for a child who is under 18, whose normal child care place or school has been closed for COVID-19 reasons. So it's really more than just if you're sick.
So it provides for basically three types of employer responses, I guess. Is that right with the, go ahead.
Yeah, so there's, are you saying there's five different reasons, and there's two different kind of pieces to the act. So there's the sick leave and then the expanded FMLA leave. So employers need to offer both types of leave to their employees.
So one is a reduction in pay, a reduction in time, I guess, served, for which they're on the payroll. They get all the benefits that they were getting before, but in reduced amounts. Is that correct?
So under this act, this doesn't have to do with the reduction in amount necessarily. So the way that this gets paid out is under paid sick for several reasons. So if an employee goes out for paid sick leave, it's up for full-time employees, it's 80 hours of sick leave or 2 weeks is what is offered. And if they go out for either a quarantine or isolation order or for self-quarantine or because they are seeking medical diagnosis or caring for someone who's similarly situated, so also caring for someone who's experiencing symptoms or been told to self-quarantine or isolate, they will be out for those 10 days at full pay. If an employee is going out to care for a child who, they don't have child care for anymore or that, you know, is out of school, that'll be at 2/3 pay of that employee's regular rate. And this is an important thing to note here. This is for employers that have 500 employees or less.
Right. What does it go down to? Does it go down to a certain number and beyond that there's no sick leave, or what's the restraints for the number of employees?
Yeah, so
or is there none under?
Yeah, so if an employer has under 500 employees, they're subject to the act, and they have to provide the 80 hours of sick leave, or there's 12 weeks of expanded FMLA. So that's what's covered under
FMLA?
So expanded FMLA is going to be to care for someone, you know, if you've got a child, if an employee's got a child under 18 that they need to care for and they're unable to work because they need to care for that child, that will be the expanded FMLA. And they can have up to 12 weeks of that type of leave, and that's paid at 2/3 rate. So, that is really just there's one specific reason for that expanded FMLA. And the way that works is that the first 2 weeks are unpaid unless an employee wants to take paid sick leave first, which is what I described. It was the first thing I described. So they can take 80 hours of paid sick leave and then 10 weeks of expanded FMLA. All 12 of those weeks would then be paid at 2/3 the employee's rate.
So is there anything that helps the employer cover these expenses?
There is.
They're required to pay it. So do they get the money to pay it?
Yeah, so employers are required to pay it. They are going to be reimbursed for any leave that is provided. So given, obviously, the financial concerns that most employers have right now, under the Act, the IRS has worked to put money for paid leave right back into employers' pockets very quickly by allowing employers to take their payroll taxes and quarterly federal employment taxes that they would normally pay into the IRS and actually take those and use those payments instead of sending them off to the IRS as they normally would. They can actually take those amounts and use that to cover the leave that they need to pay out to employees. So they also have an option to seek an advance of money from the IRS if their amount of payroll taxes does not cover the leave that they're providing. So, obviously this is a concern for many employers that are tight on money right now and need to provide leave.
Okay. So how else does this affect employees, and we really only have a minute or so, how does it affect employees in other areas besides the sick leave?
So I'm not sure if I understand, but I mean,
I don't want first of all, this whole act on employee is new to me. I did not know about it actually until it came up in a conversation that I had a few minutes ago on a website that I'm a member of, a networking on Zoom, and this is all new to me because I have no employees. I'm an independent contractor, so I would not have known anything about employees and compensation and that kind of thing. So, well, let's go to break, and when we come back, we can continue this conversation. Sarah, who's an attorney with Offit Kerman. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, and this is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500. Looking for a new website for your business? Need some help getting people on your pages? Adventure Web Interactive is your all-in-one website source. Our websites have won multiple awards and recognitions for innovation and design. Choose from services like website design, mobile app development, database integration, SEO, social media marketing, and content writing. Call Adventure Web today for a free consultation at 410-788-7007 or click on advp.com. Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to AlanHirschAdvisors.com for more information.
When Alzheimer's touches your life, turn to the Alzheimer's Association. They're here to answer your questions and offer support. Their services include free education classes, care consultations, support groups, and early-stage social engagement programs. Call their 24/7 helpline day or night at 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
Join Casey Cares in celebrating 20 years at their roaring 20th anniversary gala at the American Visionary Art Museum. The Casey Cares Foundation provides ongoing and uplifting activities for critically ill children by organizing family-centric events for kids that are undergoing treatment for leukemia, severe sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and other life-threatening illnesses. Visit CaseyCares.org or call 443-568-0064.
This event will now take place on June 27th. You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. On the phone with me is Sarah Sawyer. She's an attorney with Offit Kerman, and we're talking about, right now, the FFCRA. So where do we go from here? I mean, this is an act that came into effect April 1st, I think.
Yep, that's correct.
And It continues for how long?
It will be in effect till December 31st, so through the end of the year.
Okay. So what else does it entail? What else does it require employers to do to make sure that their employees and their families are taken care of and they can take care of their families during the coronavirus?
Yeah, so the important things here are that employers, you know, will have to provide notice of this leave to their employees. So there is a poster from the Department of Labor, just like with other types of policies, sick leave policies and things, that they will need to either post, if that makes sense, if they're still physically in their locations, or send out via email to their employees. And that'll give kind of the high level information to both the employer and the employee. I also would recommend that employers put policies into place for outlining how they're handling the act and the leave that they're providing, because there is documentation that employees will need to provide when taking this leave. So it's important that employers put together a policy and forms for leave requests so that both the employers and the employees are on the same page about how the leave works and what they should do if they have a need to take the leave. So that's really, since this act is going to be in effect through the end of the year and something that we're going to be dealing with for a while, it's important to put these things into place now so that, you know, there's a good process and clear instructions for both employers and employees on what's required. And it's important that employers get this documentation so that they can get the reimbursement that we were talking about.
So when can the leave be taken? Is it at any time, or is it the choice of the employee or the employer?
So if an employee has a need to take the leave, they should contact, however the employer tells them to contact their supervisor, their HR director, their manager, whoever it may be. So if they've got one of these reasons that they are unable to work, so if they're unable to work because they've been told to self-quarantine, for example, or they're experiencing symptoms and need to seek medical attention, then the employee should go to the employer and let them know that they, and request the leave and let them know that they need to take the leave. And they'll need to let the employer know this is which reason out of the five reasons that are provided under the act that they need to take the leave. And what type of leave, whether they need to take paid sick leave or expanded FMLA. And then they'll need, depending on which reason they're asking for leave, they'll have to provide additional information. So, for example, if an employee is experiencing symptoms of coronavirus and is seeking a medical diagnosis, then they should notify the employer immediately, let them know that they need to take paid sick leave. Let them know how long they expect to need to take that leave for, and certify that they are unable to work because they're experiencing symptoms and need to seek medical diagnosis. So once an employer receives that information, they can then assess the situation, see if the employee qualifies for leave, and provide that leave to the employee, and go from there.
So, Does the credit that the employer provide or include, does that include for health insurance or other benefits that are paid by the employer?
Yeah, so there is a increase in what is what's able to be reimbursed for health insurance paid by the employer. So the credits to the employer for providing leave are increased to include amounts employers pay to the employee's health plan coverage while the employee is on leave. So, it's really important that employers keep proper documentation of this, both of the employee taking the leave and what benefits are provided while the employee is out on leave so that they can be fully reimbursed for those expenses.
So with the reimbursement, what kind of forms or documents must the employers maintain in order to not be able to pay or take the credit against the future payroll taxes?
Yeah, so the no official form or document has come out yet for employers from the Department of Labor or from the IRS, but we have gotten information about what needs to be collected, and the documentation should include the name of the employee requesting leave, the dates the leave is sought, the reason for the leave, and a statement from the employee that that outlines the stated reason that prevents the employee from working, and certifies that the employee is unable to work due to that reason. So it should have a statement saying, you know, that the employee certifies they're unable to work. If the leave is related to a quarantine or isolation order, then the employer should request what government entity issued the order. If the employee's been ordered to self-quarantine by a healthcare provider, then the document should contain the name of the healthcare provider that's told them to self-quarantine. And then if they're the employee is taking leave to care for a child, then they should include the name of the child. The employee should provide the name of the child, the place of child care or school that is no longer available, and a statement from the employee stating that there's no other suitable care available.
So it's quite voluminous, the kinds of records that the employer has to maintain on each employee. So what's the main takeaway for employers? What should businesses be thinking about when dealing with these kinds of personal leave, sick leave?
So the main takeaway is to get a system in place. So really, a couple of weeks ago when this act first came out, the questions I was getting from clients were mainly around, what is this act, and, you know, kind of what am I even looking at here? Does it apply to me? Now it's been a couple of weeks, and just given the nature of this virus, people are needing to take this leave. And so it's really turned to, I'm getting a lot of questions from clients about how to implement this leave. And the best way to do it without a huge burden to the business is to really just put some systems in place as you would with other forms of leave, and get a policy in place, get some forms that so that you can make sure that, you know, create forms so that you can collect the proper documentation, and really streamline the process so that both you're administering it fairly and equally amongst all of your employees, that you're administering it properly, and that you're getting all the documentation and information that you need to get the reimbursement. So really just getting prepared and getting things put in place so that it's as streamlined of a system as possible, and that you're able to track the leave that you're providing and all the documentation that you need.
So if a business is working, is an essential business, and their employees are taking this leave, they've got to have the jobs there when the employee is ready to come back. What is the business to do to replace them?
So in the interim, so for the paid sick leave for those 10 days, it's 2 weeks, and should pretty much for most employers will treat that
as they would
sick regularly.
But if it's extended, it's taking care of a child, it's taking care of a parent or a grandparent, and there's no one else to do it. What is a business to do to get the kind of work?
So first, as for taking care of a parent or a grandparent, that they're not able to take the extended leave, most instances for that. It's going to be just for child care for children under the age of 18. In those circumstances, though, a lot of these same concepts between FMLA will apply. So first, and a question that I've gotten frequently is, well, what if I end up having to close my doors while people are out on leave, on FMLA or on paid sick leave? And what do I do then if, you know, I've got people out on leave, and do I need to bring them back and restore them to their previous position? And just like with regular FMLA, if you have to eliminate the person's position anyway, just for financial reasons related to COVID-19 or because you have to close your doors, that would have happened had that person not gone on leave anyway, so you don't have a requirement to put them back into the same position if that position is going to no longer exist. The requirement is that you put them back into an equivalent position as if they had never went out on the leave. But if you end up having to close your doors mid-leave, then you do not have a requirement to bring them back from leave. You'll just pay them through the time period where they've still been out on leave and you've still been open, or that their position has still existed.
Okay.
As for just having that person out, and if you need temporary help while they're out, you are able to bring in someone to temporarily fill that position.
Okay.
But you just need to keep in mind that you will need to bring them back and restore them to their position after they're done.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. When we come back, we're going to from the commercial break, we're going to continue the conversation with Sarah Sawyer, attorney at Offit Kerman. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, and this is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio 1300 AM.
A rescue was in the roadway, was blocking most of the left side of the roadway, two lanes at one point, 95 South near 32, before you hit 216 and closest to the rest area. State police were responding to it. You should find lanes in the process of opening. 29 North had a late crash at Johns Hopkins. The Beltway is fine. You're free and clear on the interloop from Arbutus to Pikesville up top, Parkville, getting to Parkville coming in through Towson. I'm Liz Drabik with traffic, CBS Sports Radio, 1300.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information. Is your website up to the new Google standards? If it has been a while since your website has been updated, you could be missing out on valuable traffic because potential clients can't find you. At Adventure Web Interactive, our web designers can update your site by optimizing it for search engines and maximizing user experience. Contact Adventure Web today at 410-788-7007 for a free website analysis, or visit us on the web at advp.com. I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
When Alzheimer's touches your life, turn to the Alzheimer's Association. They're here to answer your questions and offer support. Their services include free education classes, care consultations, support groups, and early stage social engagement programs. Call their 24/7 helpline day or night at 800-272-3900. That's 800-272-3900.
Baltimore, this is Will Holmes, Chairman of the Board of the Baltimore City Chamber of Commerce. We are building a community and you are invited. Join us every first Tuesday evening for our general body meeting, every second Tuesday evening for our Business After Dark networking event, and every fourth Wednesday morning for our breakfast networking and resources event. The City Chamber is here to bring business leaders like you together and make it easier for you to do business. Learn more about these events, membership opportunities, and how you can get involved in Baltimore's business community at baltimorecitychamber.org.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Sarah Sawyer, an attorney with Offit Kerman, and we're talking about the coronavirus and its effect on employees. And thank you for being with me, Sarah. Let's change the subject from the FFCRA to talking a little bit more about the CARES Act. As you probably know, and a lot of the people out there, the PPP, or the Payroll Protection Plan, ran out of money last week. So the Congress is now working today. They hopefully be able to get it done. But one of the provisions of the plan is employers can be forgiven of the loans. How does that work?
Yeah, so a lot of, as you mentioned, the funds have run out. A lot of my clients are starting to get the payments in, that the folks that did get were fortunate enough to get the loans, because money did run out pretty quickly. And now they're all turning their attention to figuring out how to make sure they get the loan forgiven. So the main pieces of making sure that happens are, you know, tracking the money and how you spend it, making sure you spend it on the proper eligible expenses for forgiveness, and making sure that you spend it in the allotted time period, which is 8 weeks from receiving the funds. So I've been recommending to clients that when they do get the funds, that to open a separate account to put those funds in, so that they're able to properly track where they go and what they spend them on. And then you want to start spending them right away, so that you're able to spend them in that eight-week time period for forgiveness. And you want to make sure that you spend them on payroll costs, including benefits, interest or mortgage obligations, rent, or utilities. And so you want to make sure that you're spending it on the proper things, and that you're able to prove and show that you are spending it on those things.
So someone who sets up this account is going to pay, is from this account, they will take the expenses that have to go towards payroll. So when they,
yes, and
when they have to pay it, instead of taking it out of their regular money, they take it out of this money.
Yeah, and they'll want to apply it to payroll, and then 75% of the loan funds should go towards payroll over that 8 week time period, and 25% can go towards other eligible expenses, which include rent, mortgage payments, utilities, and want to make sure they keep good documentation of spending that money on those things.
Okay, so it's really just documenting it. Can employees really make on going into unemployment make more on unemployment than working? I mean, that's we're talking here about the unemployment extension. Of $600 plus the normal state pay, which pays unemployment, and there's also provisions that independent contractors, personal corporations can file for unemployment. That hasn't happened yet in our state. Am I correct?
Yeah, so unemployment was, under the CARES Act, was expanded substantially. And as you mentioned, one large portion of that is extending unemployment to independent contractors and gig economy workers who typically wouldn't qualify for unemployment. And as you can imagine, the unemployment system in most states, our state included, are having a really tough time ramping up and getting and accommodating those types of claims. They're not used to having to calculate the amounts for those people and having to accommodate just obviously the mass influx of claims, both by independent contractors and regular employees that are going on right now. I mean, it's just the influx of claims has been very hard for system to handle. I know Maryland was hoping to have being able to take independent contractor claims a couple weeks ago, but just haven't been able to.
I think they're now hoping to take them on Friday the 24th.
Yeah, so far they've been pushing it back a week every week. So hopefully,
I understand that, because that's where I qualify, yeah. as an independent contractor, mm-hmm. and I don't even know what the requirements are. I've gotten nothing. It's a strange enactment. But on normal unemployment, some of the people are concerned that they can make more on unemployment than they can by working.
Yeah, and that's been something that a lot of my clients have been dealing with, unfortunately, is that if they've laid off a portion of their employees, they're now going to be making more on unemployment than some of their employees that are still working. So that has really created a tough situation for a lot of employers. And it's also, you know, created some interesting incentives, both on the employer and the employee side. I know that I've heard of a couple employers who, while they could have remained open, their employees would make so much more on unemployment that they had closed their doors and allowed their employees to go on unemployment and collect more, because employees are that are going on unemployment are now receiving 50% of their income up to a max of $435 a week, plus an additional $600 from the CARES Act. So depending on what employees typically make, that could be more than they would normally receive if they were working.
So $465 is 50% the maximum.
It's $435.
I'm sorry.
This
is all strange to me. Anyway, well, these.
I'm
trying to get the information out to the public, but this is all strange to me. And it's strange to a lot of people. This whole process, which is important for our government to do, it's a lot of work, for the companies, the employers and employees, to understand what's going on. And at the same time, they've got to be reacting quickly in order to take advantage of the programs.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, a lot of times people are taking advantage of things and just hoping that it all works out, because it's been tough for everyone to keep up with the changes in the laws and in the guidance. And sometimes it's been changing daily and sometimes even hourly.
Yeah. So will any of these CARE Act programs be receiving more funding? Is unemployment going to go? Well, it's going to go 26 plus an extra 13, 39 weeks, which I think takes them to the end of the year. And PPP looks like it's being funded for, what is it? I think they're looking at $450 million.
Yeah, so the funding for the first part of the act for the PPP has run out, but they're looking to make a new deal on some additional funding for that program. They were looking to hopefully get some resolution to that today, and we should hopefully know more. The Senate's convening, so hopefully we'll have a better understanding of where we are with that. But there looks like there may be some additional funding coming into the PPP program. I think that the thing that we're waiting to see is whether this will be an extension of the CARES Act or whether it will be an extension plus with some new additional programs or initiatives. Stay tuned, and I'm sure there'll be more to come.
I'm sure there will be. General workplace questions, and I'll leave this question to be answered when we come back from the next break. But what should essential businesses who have employees working on site be considering as far as policies and programs to maintain the safety of their employees? And when we come back from the next commercial break, we will discuss some of these. I'll discuss them with you, Sarah, hopefully we'll get some resolution. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. This is AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Allen Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to AllenHirschAdvisors.com for more information. In the digital world, first impressions are everything. If your site is slow or outdated, you could be missing out on valuable business. The team at Adventure Web Interactive is ready to help you bring your website up to date so that you can reach new audiences and convert more leads. Contact Adventure Web today at 410-788-7007 for a free website analysis or visit them on the web at advp.com.
Join Casey Cares in celebrating 20 years at their roaring 20th anniversary gala at the American Visionary Art Museum. The Casey Cares Foundation provides ongoing and uplifting activities for critically ill children by organizing family-centric events for kids that are undergoing treatment for leukemia, severe sickle cell, cystic fibrosis, and other life-threatening illnesses. Visit CaseyCares.org or call 443-568-0064.
This event will now take place on June 27th.
Strengthen, protect, and preserve your retirement nest egg. Scott Garceau here for the Stephen J. Sless Group, Baltimore's reverse mortgage specialist. Reverse mortgages have evolved to become a viable retirement tool. Enjoy retirement without monthly mortgage payments, improve cash flow, pay off debt, and stretch retirement savings. Stephen and his team can offer strategies to make housing wealth work for you. If you're 62 or older, learn if a reverse mortgage could help. Visit ReverseBaltimore.com.
An equal housing opportunity lender. This is not a commitment to loan. Stephen J. Sless, NMLS 298581. BRMI, NMLS 3094.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to AllenHirschAdvisors.com for more information.
The Maryland Construction Network is an innovative construction association representing the entire construction community. With premier networking events, relevant educational programs, and unique and creative ways to market and promote your business. The question is, why not the Maryland Construction Network? It's affordable and it's effective. As a business coach, I recommend that you check it out for yourself. Visit mdconstructionnet.net to learn more. That's mdconstructionnet.net.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Now, back to AHA Business Radio, creating AHA moments for business, by business, and about business. Once again, here's your host, Alan Hirsch.
Welcome back to the show. On the telephone with me is Sarah Sawyer. She's an attorney with Offit Kerman, and we're talking about the coronavirus. And Sarah, I asked you before we went on break, what should essential businesses who have employees working on site be considering?
So really need to be considering putting policies in place that comply with CDC recommendations and policies and procedures that will help keep their workforce safe and also any customers, their vendors, or anyone coming into their location. So, putting social distancing policies in place, cleaning policies in place, just to keep everyone safe and to make sure that people are clear on what the expectations are. Really, it's so dependent on industry and, what type of business you are and, whether you have customers coming in, whether you're the coffee shop down the street or you're working on a construction site or you're a factory or really just very industry specific how to make sure that you're complying with CDC regulations, but need to really think it through and have a plan in place and also have a plan for when someone comes to you and says they've been exposed to COVID-19 or they're experiencing symptoms and to take that seriously and make sure that you protect both your customers if that's applicable the fellow workers.
Well, some of the outbreak is for those who are listening in South Dakota, one of the pork butcher plants a large number have contracted the disease. I guess they didn't separate them by distance, and they just forced employees to continue to come back to work. So they didn't do some of these CDC-required spacings and so forth, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's really, it's in everyone's interest, to your point about that specific example. It's not only, you know, a best practice as far as just wanting to keep your employees safe, but, you know, the long-lasting impacts of an outbreak in your location or with your employees obviously has a huge impact on the business. So, you know, it's really important that employees have a plan in place, that if someone is experiencing symptoms or let the employer know that they may be sick or may have been exposed, that they have something in place to let anyone who has come into contact with that employee know that they may be at risk, and let them know to be monitoring themselves for symptoms and making sure that they're taking the proper precautions.
So you're looking at the employees and the employers both trying to work together to maintain a healthy workplace.
Yeah, and part of the idea behind the Families First Act that we discussed earlier was to not put employees in a position where they would have to hide their symptoms or choose between working and coming in sick and spreading the virus. So that really is a main piece about why that Leave Act was passed, because you can imagine you don't want employees to have to make those types of decisions and then cause the broad consequences that can result from coming in sick with symptoms or hiding those symptoms from their employer.
So what as we get back to, and I don't know when, but as we get back to opening up the markets again, which is one of the things that our president has been after, and some of the states are beginning to do that. What should employers be thinking about as they reopen their doors, and employees about maintaining their own safety?
Yeah, so I mean, the impacts of this are going to be with us for a while, which is part of the reason why the Families First Act is in effect till December 31st. So employers really should continue to think about what measures they're going to need to keep in place as far as social distancing and cleaning and teleworking policies. I see a lot of employers as they reopen, changing the design of their offices and making adaptions so that their employees have more distance between each other. Because even as we start to reopen, hopefully sooner rather than later, this COVID-19 will still be at play and will still be an issue. So it's something that employers and employees should still both be thinking a lot about and, making accommodations to keep everyone safe. I know a lot of employers are starting to do temperature tests, as employees are coming into the office, making sure that they don't have a fever. So that is something that is permissible, and the ABA has come out on guidance with this and has made it clear that is permitted, and you are allowed to take your employees' temperatures prior to coming into work. If you are going to keep any logs of any types of information that you're collecting as we move forward with this, you just need to make sure that you're keeping it confidential and complying with ADA regulations. So that's something that employers should definitely keep in mind.
So, I mean, as the businesses reopen, undoubtedly, we're still going to be dealing with the COVID-19 concerns for the foreseeable for the foreseeable future. What are some, I guess these are the same policies and procedures they should be paying special attention to. I guess they need to take the temperature of employees. They need to make sure employees are separated by 6 feet. or, trying to maintain separation, but at the same time being able to serve their clients.
Yeah, and there's, they definitely want to be keeping in mind all of these things. And another thing that I've been counseling clients to, employers and things to keep in mind is that other laws, like I mentioned the ADA, also discrimination, any of these other employment laws and policies that you normally pay attention to outside of a crisis are things you need to continue to pay attention to as well. So this is a good time as businesses are reopening and paying special attention to new policies and procedures around COVID-19. It's a good time to go back and make sure that you are complying with other types of laws, such as ADA compliance as well. So one example is keeping medical documentation for employees separate from their personnel files. So, you know, that's becoming more important than ever right now, as you may have more medical information on more employees, just given the nature of this current situation.
Okay. So what are some ways you see the corona virus changing the workplace long term? I mean, I'm seeing it in my own practice. I'm thinking about doing Zoom conference calls with most of my clients. I've traveled the Baltimore metropolitan area to see the clients, and more they want to. We're now doing, because I'm not essential, we're doing more and more Zoom individual conferences. The groups that I facilitate, we're doing group meetings. I mean, maybe they're more and more are attending because they don't have a lot to do. But two of the groups I met with in the last two and a half weeks, they had more people at the meeting than they've had in the last 3-4 months. So I'm looking at doing, you know, more Zoom, maybe expanding my practice beyond the Baltimore area. So what are businesses going to be looking at as in a changing workplace?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I mean, a lot of the businesses that have had to adapt and change through this crisis to accommodate the craziness of the times. So Zoom calls is a perfect example, curbside, pickup, all these different things that people are doing. I think a lot of those things will stick around, as we return to hopefully some state of normal. So I think that is one piece. I also see a lot of companies having smaller physical footprints, and I'll be interested to see how many companies end up implementing teleworking policies. So a lot of companies have already downsized their physical locations and up teleworking prior to this crisis. But there's been a lot of industries and businesses that have been somewhat, resisting that change and really still feeling the need to have their workers physically together in an office. And so I think that the need to go remote is going to change that for a lot of industries and a lot of employers that were resisting that change before. I'm also curious to see how, health precautions and general employee wellness will change as far as, corporations and companies paying more attention to employee wellness and whether our flu seasons are going to change, will be wearing masks during flu season.
Right. Thank you, Sarah, for being here. I appreciate it. How can the listeners reach you and Afik Kerman?
So the best way to reach me, I can reach at Sarah. Sawyer at AufitKerman.com. And that is the best way to reach me.
Okay. Thank you again for being here. I want to thank my producer, Jerry, for making these complicated transactions work during the coronavirus. Please join me next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Well, I'll be talking business with Lee Fredrickson, managing partner of Hinge Marketing. And we're going to be talking about the spreading and the diversification of our business practices. I'm Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors, your host. To reach me, call 443-977-4500 or visit my website, alanhirschadvisors.com. You can listen to podcasts of past shows at www.ahabusinessradio.com. You can follow me on LinkedIn at Alan Hirsch. I'm Alan Hirsch, and this has been AHA Business Radio on CBS Sports Radio, 1300 AM.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500. I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500.
Baltimore, this is Will Holmes, Chairman of the Board of the Baltimore City Chamber of Commerce. We are building a community and you are invited. Join us every first Tuesday evening for our general body meeting, every second Tuesday evening for our Business After Dark networking event, and every fourth Wednesday morning for our breakfast networking and resources event. The City Chamber is here to bring business leaders like you together and make it easier for you to do business. Learn more about these events, membership opportunities, and how you can get involved in Baltimore's business community at baltimorecitychamber.org.
Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information.
Strengthen, protect, and preserve your retirement nest egg. Scott Garceau here for the Stephen J. Sless Group, Baltimore's reverse mortgage specialist. Reverse mortgages have evolved to become a viable retirement tool. Enjoy retirement without monthly mortgage payments, improve cash flow, pay off debt, and stretch retirement savings. Stephen and his team can offer strategies to make housing wealth work for you. If you're 62 or older, learn if a reverse mortgage could help. Visit reversebaltimore.com.
An equal housing opportunity lender. This is not a commitment to less. Stephen J. Sless, NMLS 298581. PRMI, NMLS 3094.
I'm Alan Hirsch, and I believe in making a difference in the lives of others. I help you understand your vision, both professional and personal, discover why you're in business, work with your visions to align them with your why, give you feedback on what is important, and hold you accountable for your decisions. All this so you can improve your life and improve the lives of the people around you. If that sounds like someone you want to work with, give me a call at 443-977-4500. That's 443-977-4500. I'm Alan Hirsch, and I trust my digital marketing to the experts at Adventure Web Interactive. They have grown my Twitter following by 400%, increased my web views by 200%, and helped me reach new audiences. From content creation to social media management, Adventure Web has been an invaluable partner in helping me maximize my online presence. Contact them today at 410-788-7007. Or visit them on the web at advp.com. Great athletes have coaches. So should CEOs and business owners. Hi, this is Alan Hirsch of Alan Hirsch Advisors. Owning a business takes drive, desire, and a certain amount of luck. Well, I can't help you with the luck. I can help you make better decisions, giving you a competitive edge. If you own a business, I invite you to contact us. Our goal is to help you align your company vision and your personal lives so you'll make and execute better decisions. At Alan Hirsch Advisors, we create those aha moments. Log on to alanhirschadvisors.com for more information.
The preceding was a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZAM, Intercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
CBS Sports Radio 1300 is WJZ-AM Baltimore, WJZ-FM HD3 Cajunsville, Baltimore. Your home for Maryland Terrapin sports and live sports talk around the clock.